on SOFpodcast.com, iTunes, and on Square One Football Radio. This is The Sound of Football.
Hello and welcome to this week's Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley and as usual I'm joined by Terry DeFellin and Jan Bilton. I say as usual, but we're in a new studio today. We're just up the road from our normal place. Jan is our host this evening. What a lovely kitchen you have as well, Jan.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, so I've got my back to the game at the moment and unfortunately Terry is actually watching Palace playing Fulham right now. With the sound down and things aren't going too well. So what we're going to do is we're going to take his mind off it. We're going to have a conversation about the last knockings of the World Cup. We're going to be discussing the playoff draw, which was made today. And also we're going to be talking about another few issues that we've seen come up over the last weekend. We won't be talking about any sort of like non-stories to do with England. So if you want to hear about that, go somewhere else. The qualification ended quite sort of satisfactorily in the end, didn't it?
From an England point of view,
yes,
most satisfactory.
We weren't surprised, were we? In the end,
no, we weren't surprised. We said that we wouldn't be surprised if England won.
Yeah,
and we weren't.
We weren't by a relatively narrow margin. Although, I mean, I suggested that I wouldn't be surprised if England won by a goal. But I'm happy with two.
Yes.
That's all right.
Yeah, it would have been a goal if Steve Gerrard hadn't scored that other one, wouldn't it?
That's right. It would have been a single goal if it wasn't for that pesky Steve Gerrard.
I looked at it that way.
Now you have another way of looking at things.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, the playoff draw was made today, and that put together a few intriguing ties. It always seems to be the same old names in the playoffs, doesn't it?
Well,
France and Portugal.
And Portugal, particularly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was quite nice because Bosnia qualified this time round, and in the last few tournaments, Bosnia have got through to the playoffs, and I think for the last two, they've played Portugal. And then they've been knocked out. And that's very annoying.
Yes.
Because I think that, for all kinds of reasons, I think it's a good thing that Bosnia get into a major tournament because, you know, for all that stuff that happened, back then. Mm. And Portugal have got so many great players and yet seem to, you know, somehow squander their abilities by finishing second and underachieving in tournaments, in my view anyway. And it just seemed a little bit, you know, annoying that they seem to be sort of getting in the way of perhaps more worthy competitors and
more interesting teams,
and perhaps more interesting as well. Yes, although not that the Portuguese football is uninteresting, as you yourself know, Graham.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Having recently visited there, nevertheless, it's a bit of a, you know, it's quite annoying to see that they're not fulfilling their potential. I mean, in fairness, the same could be said for France, who, you know, should certainly have a very good side. You know, Frank Ribéry, Karim Benzema, Samir Nasri, you know, these aren't rubbish players.
No,
but it is always, you know, very nice to see France fall.
Well, we all enjoy that, yeah. And the rest of the world as well is in going through an enjoyable, you know, knowing what it's like to be English in terms of a relationship, sporting relationship with France, because after the 2010 playoffs, where they cheated, frankly, pretty much cheated, everyone's kind of down on the French and kind of hoping that Ukraine will
smash them.
Well, yeah, well, certainly. And I mean, I think that France as a footballing nation has got a few things to think about. You know, that kind of post Clairefontaine boom of the 1990s. You know, it doesn't appear to have had that legacy seems to perhaps worn thin. If legacies can wear thin, can legacies wear thin? I don't know. I can now, anyway.
Yes.
I can in the sound of football land.
Yeah, I think that's all right.
Yeah, we can wear reflective hats, I think.
Then we can have thin legacies.
Yes, I think
and
so.
And they're getting thinner.
Skinny legacies.
skinny legacies.
Okay. Yes, and as you mentioned there, France are playing Ukraine, which over two legs is going to...
It's going to be a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a toughie.
It's not going to be a very exciting match, though, either of those others.
No, well, I think it's going to be kind of exciting if you like watching French people squirm, because
that's going to be very exciting.
But yeah, 180 minutes, that's going to be...
You know what will happen. Yeah. That team will go out there full of the Gallic flair, and for 85 minutes, they won't get a shot on target until probably, 86, 87 minutes. Then, it'll be a goal, and they'll take that, spend the 1-0 lead, and they'll try, comically, to shut out Ukraine for over 90 minutes.
But the way they failed to shut out Israel in that time.
Indeed. The only team to have shut out Ukraine since, well, certainly in this qualifying campaign and before, was Roy Hodgson's England.
Well, there you go. So they must be pretty good. We should watch them sometime.
Well, they're certainly well organised. Good stretching it. yes, I think that France have got some issues. And like I said, although it would be a shame to see such talented players missing out on all that, maybe they do need a period of introspection. Perhaps a relegation to the not World Cup would be.
Yeah, Portugal.
I was just going to say, part of me wants them to actually qualify and then do really badly, but because then it's stretched out over a couple of weeks.
But it won't be like 2010, which was wonderful.
Oh no, that was amazing.
They just made such idiots of themselves.
Yeah,
and everyone's looking at them saying, "Look at you, you idiot holes."
Do you think it could?
And then I think they would do that again this time because not even they could be so carried away with themselves that they won't allow themselves to. I'm sure they won't. Apologies to any French listeners, by the way.
Yes.
We do holiday regularly in your country, and we are, most English are completely hypocritical about
it. And we love your wine.
And we were so careful last week not to appear. We were so careful last week not to appear xenophobic. And in the first 5 minutes, we've really rounded on France.
No, this is
just that's xenophobia. That's just being.
That's okay. They deserve it all.
Well, yes.
Yeah, they do. Anyway.
So who wouldn't we be surprised to see go through in that tournament?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if Ukraine went through.
No.
Got to say.
Dan, do you concur or do you think...
Sorry, I was just choking on some...
On your German beer.
On my German beer.
On your lovely German beer.
It is very nice.
Well, it's not French.
None of your French beer. Not in this house. I wouldn't be... Well, to be honest with you, I don't know. It can go either way on that one, I think.
So you wouldn't be surprised if either of them went through?
Yeah. I
wouldn't be surprised if both went through.
Oh, I'd be
very surprised if that happened.
Yes, yes.
I refuse to be drawn on that.
Yeah. Well, also, talking about other regular visitors to the playoffs, Portugal have actually got Sweden. Now this is going to be that's going to be a tasty fixture.
Yeah,
isn't it?
And it's Cristiano Ronaldo versus Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And it's which of the two most egomaniacal yet talented footballers are likely to are going to go through to the World Cup with their sort of entourage, which is their other teammates.
Yes.
Yes. And that's good. I mean, I don't know. I don't know whether or not that will be the game that I arrive at when I watch, but which of the three that I will watch. But it certainly that has an intriguing narrative, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm. Yeah. I think that's. Yeah, it is just a game of two personalities there. Of course, I don't think either of those games are going to be the one that the football hipsters are going to be watching. I think the football hipsters are going to be watching Croatia Iceland.
Do you think so? No, I don't think,
do you think
so. No, I think that the hipsters are going to be going for Portugal, Sweden Portugal because of the Zlatan.
Of Zlatan.
Yeah, because the hipsters
love
Zlatan.
Yeah,
and your romanticists.
Yes.
Are going to be your non-league hipster Dulwich Hamlet types. They'll be going for the Iceland game. There's a whiff of romance of the underdog, that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. Bringing planes down and everything like that.
Although Steve Gabb on Twitter pointed out that Iceland were the villains, the Icelandic ice hockey team were the villains in the Mighty Ducks 2, and that perhaps we should rethink, you know, the whole, you know, universal appreciation for.
Well,
I've not seen Mighty Ducks 2, but I don't know whether that's necessarily a reason for.
Is there a universal appreciation for Iceland?
Yeah, there is.
Well, so,
no, obviously not, because I thought
because of, well, not in football related, but the last financial meltdown was all Iceland's fault.
Oh, I know exactly. It's not had a good few years. I mean, like, beforehand, the only thing we knew Iceland for was Magnussen and Bjork.
Chapman bought West Ham, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, this is it. Yeah, it was all part of the meltdown.
And then he was
really?
Yeah, part of that. And then, of course, then there was the volcanic ash.
Yeah.
But, joking aside, I mean, Iceland isn't France. We can't just dislike them simply because of a bunch of stuff that's happened. You know? We'll leave that specifically for the French. But, yeah. I mean, this is a population of, what, 400,000?
Mm-hmm.
You know, producing a team that could get into the World Cup. That's a fairy story, and that's one that people should get behind.
Yes, but they've got to overcome Croatia first.
But they've got to come to operate Croatia, who are a bit rubbish at the moment. Wow.
But good at getting tournaments.
Yeah.
Good at getting tournaments,
yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. Got players of pedigree there.
Yeah, which leaves us finally with Romania versus Greece.
Go Greece.
Go Greece.
Yeah. I am a Greek supporter.
Yes.
Yeah, I love
Will
Greece.
Will they be able to send a team there? Will they have to
And I won't brook any cheap gags about their poor economy. Yes, they will send a team there. And they'll send them in a big luxury
German bus.
They'll borrow some money off Germany. Again.
They'll be playing in German kits.
They're playing German kits inside out.
We'll come out to the German national anthem.
All part of the beer.
Every time they let the goal in, they're going to cut to Angela Merkel, aren't they?
You know, I don't think this is a really good line of conversation. We spent quite a long time working that kind of stuff out. Let's not go back over it again.
Okay. Well, the playoffs themselves, they take place in the middle of November, and then after that, it will be the draw, and then we can all get into, like, you know,
we can get really even more xenophobic. And why don't you dish out even more now?
This is only just the initial rumblings, isn't it?
This is fascist foreplay. This is
unsubscribe now if you didn't like anything that you heard, because it's only going to get worse between now and Brazil.
But yes, listeners, if there are things that you wouldn't be surprised to see happening, then let us know at the usual channels.
We'd be delighted to learn what you wouldn't be surprised to learn.
Yes. Right. Also, this weekend we had a Phantom Tour.
The Phantom Tour.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And now, I don't know if you saw this, listeners, but Terry, talk us through it.
Well, I'm sure you did, listeners, because everyone's seen it. It's all over YouTube. It's Stefan Kiesling from a set piece header, glancing header, appeared to miss, went past the other side of the post,
mm-hmm.
but hit the side netting. But there was a little hole in the side netting, and the ball popped in. Into the goal.
Slipped in.
And it was
freak occurrence, wasn't it?
And it was good. So he kept stepping, he looks around and goes, oh man, I've missed. Or
yes.
Whatever that is in German. Yeah. And sort of, you know, put his hands on his head to it. Oh,
yeah, there was no attempted celebration there, was it?
No, none whatsoever. Yeah. And then suddenly he looked around and all of his players are running towards him in a kind of, you scored, hurrah for you kind of way. And he went, oh, great. Anyway, so there was a lot of kerfuffle, and the Hoffenheim players were pointing in the direction and saying, look, there is a hole here, and the referee is looking, you know, rather embarrassed and clueless. He gives a penalty later in the game in the most ridiculous non-penalty you've ever seen.
Oh, God.
I should say this is against Hoffenheim, listeners, and the Hoffenheim completely mess up this gift of an equaliser that they were given. Just to make things even worse, and controversy has ensued, and you know, needless to say, the goal line technology parade are out going, brr, goal line technology, you know, whereas I don't know, all the people who say brr, eyes, you know, seem to be quite silent. So that's it, and it's been all over. It's called the Phantom Tour. It's and that's a name that was picked up from a similar situation in 1994. We're between Bayern Munich and Nuremberg, in which a ball did not cross the line, and the referee and linesman seemed to be of the opinion that it did. It turned out that the game was replayed. So there's an appeal going on at the moment, and FIFA have been asked to judge whether or not the game should be replayed.
Mm.
It's not the first time that the German team's been involved in some kind of goal line controversy as well. But like I said, that was that game against Bayern Munich. I mean, there is the other one in Germany, apparently. Can you believe there's some controversy about one of the goals in the 1966 Cup final? But I have no idea which one it is.
Seems a bit like
somewhere
far in the past to me. I don't know why there's still concern about it.
If you've ever had German wine, I can tell you it's fairly sour.
I'll have you know that a German Riesling is very tasty.
It's like a German Kiesling.
Like a German Kiesling, indeed. Although I don't know how tasty Stefan Kiesling is, and I'm not going to find out. Although I am going to see Leverkusen next week.
I'm
going to the Bayer Arena to see Leverkusen. Yeah, so yeah, looking forward to that.
Who are they playing?
They're playing Augsburg.
Augsburg, there you go.
And then I'm going to see them, or is it Eintracht Frankfurt? And I'm going to see Mönchengladbach the following day, who are playing either Augsburg or Mönchengladbach or Eintracht Frankfurt. So may have got those two.
What do we think about this whole thing about them having to replay the game?
I think it's a nonsense and a schmozzle. What do you think?
Schmozzle?
Mm. I think schmozzle is the word I'm looking for.
Well, I like that. Well, I'm going to use that more often. I agree. I think it's crazy. Referee made the decision. It wasn't correct, but that's just the way it is.
I love this nonsense idea that he gave a nonsense
that was
penalty. I mean, this is
well, I didn't know, I wasn't aware of that. I'm just going to even things up.
And then they messed it up. They messed it up. Hilarious.
Oh, I think that's fine then. That's
like, I mean, I think that's right.
It's a whole thing of like two wrongs making a complete massive wrong. Isn't it?
Also, I mean, you know, I mean, Hoffenheim are a very rich Bundesliga club with a brand new stadium. That stadium is what, 2 or 3 years old. Okay, I mean, get some proper nets that actually work. You know, otherwise, this kind of stuff's going
to
happen.
Yeah. Are the referees supposed to check the netting before?
Yes,
the liners are meant to check the netting.
Yes,
yeah.
They do.
That's one of their jobs that they're meant to do.
As a consequence, every time for the rest of the weekend, this happened on a Friday, so all the live games consequently had shot TV cameras focusing on linesmen diligently wading through every single part of the lake,
looking like a fisherman's wife.
As if it makes a difference now. Talk about, now we must be extra diligent because something hideous has happened. You know, it's like, it's already happened.
Well, it was going to happen again.
Horses bolted and all that. I suppose if it happened twice in the weekend, that would be,
unfortunately.
That would be one national stereotype that would be challenged severely, wouldn't it? But I mean, I think that, you know, if a referee, you know, makes a bad call, they make a bad call, and these things do happen. It's very, very annoying.
Yeah, otherwise, don't have a human referee.
You can't replay the game for every bad call.
Exactly.
With something like that. I mean, we had one in 2008, didn't we? Watford versus Reading. Is that what it right? Yeah.
That was earlier 2008.
Stuart Atwell. No, where the ball didn't even go anywhere near the goal, but was judged as a goal.
Yeah.
And of course, there is, you know, Gerry Murphy, Crystal Palace versus Coventry.
Oh, we all remember that one.
Where it hit the staunchion and came out.
What is a staunchion?
It's a stanchion.
Yeah.
But Jimmy Hill, in his post-match remarks after the game, because the game was on Match of the Day, Jimmy Hill kept insisting on calling the stanchion a staunchion. And I have no idea why he did it. And ever since then, whenever we talk about that particular goal, you have to refer to the stanchion as a staunchion.
Yeah.
By way of homage to the great man.
Yeah. It's like when England go to the World Cup, we won't talk about getting to the quarterfinals or even the semi-finals. Because Roy's taking us there, we have to say we're going to go to the quarterfinals.
And the semi-finals.
Semi-finals.
Because it's in homage to that Fulham's great run to the Europa League final. In which, for some reason, he called the quarterfinals the quarterfinals, and the semi-finals the semi-finals. And I can only assume that it's a bit of you know, one of the many languages that he knows.
Is he just dropping in?
Terry and I are from Croydon, the same town as Roy, and we went to the same school as Roy.
We did, indeed.
And we don't say.
If you tried to say semi-final at John Ruskin High School, you'd have got your head kicked in.
Yeah, you would have.
And I thought there was something odd about you.
Mm.
So, although anyone's just as an aside, it's a proud day for us Croydonians, you know, with Roy, you know, doing what has to be done, you know, and, you know, getting the lads to Brazil. Fantastic.
Mm.
Can't wait.
Neither can I. Yeah.
Indeed. Hopefully they'll get to the quarter finale.
Yes.
Or even indeed the finale. Oh.
Too much to hope, I fear. Too much to... It's the hope that kills you, isn't it?
It is.
Yes. Yes. Invariably so. Right. Well, that's that done. Also, this week, Champions League's back.
The champions!
Well, I mean, the only game I'm really interested, though, is the one that, at the end, tomorrow
Arsenal
night,
Dortmund.
Which is Arsenal versus Dortmund.
Yeah, what do you reckon is going to happen?
Well, what wouldn't I be surprised about what happened this
week? Sorry, what wouldn't you be surprised about?
Well, actually, I think it's really, really good, because last time Dortmund came, they weren't in the best of form in the Champions League.
No, they weren't.
But hopefully this time round we're going to see a much closer performance. Actually, I think
much more confident team.
But then again, Arsenal are a lot more confident than they were the last time Dortmund came.
Very
up,
definitely.
So.
Well, both teams are in. Well, not Arsenal are in really, really good form. Mm. Dortmund are a bit off.
Mm.
They won against Hannover. But it was a really unconvincing.
They scored very early, didn't they?
From a penalty, and then really not much else happened for the rest of the game. And prior to that, they lost to Borussia Mönchengladbach. Well, that was a strange game, because Dortmund were all over them, but just couldn't score.
Mm.
So had so many chances, and then, you know, inevitably, football gods punish prolificity.
They punished. Yeah, not a good time for them to be playing Arsenal, who are looking amazing. It's funny to think that only, more than a few weeks ago, certainly at the start of the season, we were talking about, should Wenger go, isn't it terrible? Yeah. And then, I mean, look at this now.
Yeah,
I mean,
on
Saturday, they were unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
Especially Smoking Jack.
I've not seen much today, but Smoking Jack was in good form.
Smoking Jack was smoking.
Yeah, he probably scored the best goal that you'll see all season.
There's a couple of new things going. Brilliant. Arsenal's form has become scary again, and also it was like going back in the time machine. Actually, it was like the way that pundits are starting to talk about Arsenal again. It's like, you know, the last like 8 years hasn't happened or something. Mm. It's like, hang on, what's going on here?
Memories are fleeting, aren't they? Everybody lives in it now in football.
Yes.
And
it's only, I'm under like no illusions that it's going to take losing at home to someone in the bottom half of the table for everything to come crashing back down
again. Yeah. But I mean, if it depends when that happens. If that happens in like March, then they'll be well on the way for a title anyway. But I mean, if it happens, in the next game or whenever that game is, then I'm sure that you're right. I'm sure it'll be, he's put it in his pocket. And, hasn't won no trophy since 2005. Is it 2005?
I completely undeserved FA Cup win against Man United.
Oh, yes,
it was a dire final. That
was an awful game.
Absolute awful final. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you think Schalke are going to do against Chelsea?
I think that's a difficult one, because Schalke are they're okay.
They had a bit of a ding-dong at the weekend, didn't they?
They had a bit of a ding-dong
against Braunschweig.
Braunschweig, who were awful. And they conceded two goals. But again, it's difficult to tell, because Chelsea are a bit sort of funny. But I think in the Champions League, I think Chelsea are generally speaking very efficient and play very well in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And I don't think Schalke have really got enough for Chelsea, to be honest with you. It's at the Bridge, is it not?
It's
at the Veltins. Yes. Okay, all right. Well, I still probably think that that's more likely to be a 1-0 away win, frankly.
Mm. Another interesting tie on Tuesday night will be Milan versus Barcelona. That's if you want to watch something else instead of Arsenal and Dortmund.
You would want to do that?
Dortmund is on ITV though, so that tune into it, but won't actually get to see it. Have I said how much I?
Yes, you have. Okay. It looks like we'll look forward to a report for the next podcast on Milan versus Barca.
Mm.
And you can tell us all about it. I think Milan are really not much cop these days. I mean, it's hard to imagine Barcelona struggling too much.
Yeah, it's a fixture that really just relies on the names. Rather,
it's got
than
some
the
European prestige to it, isn't yeah. it? Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's an old school European yeah. fixture, but at present,
yeah, of course, Barcelona are always good for interest money.
Yeah, yeah, totally, of course. Yeah. They are.
On the Wednesday night, we've got Man United will be at home to Sociedad, but on the same in the same group, Leverkusen are hosting Shakhtar Donetsk.
Well, for those who caught Shakhtar last season in the Champions League, which is very few people, I only saw them a couple of times, and that's because they played Dortmund there. A lot of fun. They lost Mkhitaryan, who went to Dortmund, and they've lost Will.i.am, who eventually went to Chelsea. But they've still got some decent players, and they're a decent side. Leverkusen, well, I'll tell you more about them next week if you like, but against Sociedad, they went out with a particular plan and it was okay, but I think a better side would have picked them apart. But they've been really lucky, Leverkusen, because they played Bayern Munich 2 weeks ago at the Bayer Arena, and they were absolutely murdered. They were drawn limb from limb, and yet somehow managed to blag a 1-1 draw out of the game.
Really?
Yeah. So who knows? Maybe they're a Leverkusen. No, that's not going to stick, is it?
No.
Interesting about that United Sociedad game, because Sociedad lost a lot of good players in the summertime, but they're still highly regarded, and United are a bit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I wonder. I think any game now with Man United, everyone's going to look at them and go, ooh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because they're a bit fragile at the minute.
Yeah.
So we'll see. They get a good result, get a win out of there, they'll have earned it. Take a bit of pressure off Moyes.
Anything else on Wednesday? Well, they've got Real Juventus in their gimme group.
Well, again, that's full of sort of European lore, isn't it?
Yeah.
And two decent sides. I mean, Juventus are on their way up, sort of getting there in Italy. Much better last season. But yeah, I mean, they've got some good players, quality players on offer of that one. So that'll be worth a watch, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. City are away to in Moscow, and Bayern are at home to Victoria Pilsen.
There's not much to say about either of those two.
No, there isn't really. So what game do you think you'll be watching on Wednesday night? Yeah?
I will probably watch the Man United game because it'll be on, and hopefully not on ITV.
But
I do like Flick.
Yeah.
I think Real probably be quite an interesting one as well. And if I want to see a goal fest or a goals krieg, then put Munich on.
Tor Krieg. I think the Munich is always worth a goal if you fancy seeing some goals. Although I may be tempted by that Leverkusen one.
Yeah, the city game is going to be early doors as well because that's in Moscow. So you'll be able to watch that first. Rush home from work, watch it, and then line yourself up for the main event. Anyway, that's our sort of mixed bag for this week. I think we've covered all the bases there, haven't we?
Yeah, all the major food groups.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it was a macrobiotic podcast there. So stay tuned for Match Day 8.
We didn't mention Celtic v Ajax.
Yeah, I know we didn't.
Pointing that out.
Okay.
Or for that matter, Stoya versus Bar. Hang on. Or Marseille v Napoli.
No, yes,
watch it tomorrow.
We can all watch the telly.
All right.
Right. Well, from us, we'll see you next time, listeners. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bjorn, and from the family, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. Stick around for Top Transfer.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Hello and welcome to Match Day 8 of Sound of Football Top Trumps. If you joined us last week, you'll have heard the first casualty of Sound of Football Top Trumps. It was me. Yes, Lionel Messi couldn't get me out of that situation, and I came a cropper. So the game's now come down to three players now. You, the listeners, Jan, who has control of the deck, and Terry. This week, if Jan successfully wins his pick, he will go into the lead with on cards held. So, Jan, if you please.
It's a tricky one. But Gareth Bale.
Gareth Bale?
It's never been gone for before. Year of birth, 1989.
Now, listeners, year of birth is done on youngest.
Youngest wins.
Youngest wins. So, Terry, who have you got?
I have Xavi.
Ooh.
And, his year of birth is 1980.
Now, listeners, you have Wesley Schneider. Born in 1984, it's Jan wins again. Three wins in a row. There he goes.
I gotta keep the match ball.
This game is fixed.
Join us again next week for some more.
That's the sound of my laughter.
Sound of Football Top Trumps.
Fixed Sound of Football Top Trumps.
Oh,